Welcome to the Wine Atelier Podcast, your insider's guide to mastering wine with certified sommelier Stephanie Miskew.
Hey there, wine lovers. Thanks so much for tuning into the Wine Atelier Podcast today. And I am very excited for today's show, not only because it's my 10th podcast episode, but I have a very special guest with me today. I have the president of the prestigious American Fine Wine Competition, Miss Sherry Gurman, with me. And thanks so much for joining us today, Sherry.
It's my pleasure, Stephanie. I love speaking with you.
I know, always. And I have to especially thank you because I can only imagine how busy you are right now.
Just a little.
Yeah. Yes. We're going to get to that later. Your fabulous event coming up next week. But, and it's funny. I was trying to remember when, how long we've known each other. I think we probably met in 2011, I think, was the first year I judged the American Fine Wine Competition. So
that sounds about right. Yeah.
Does it? Yeah.
And we miss you, by the way.
Well, I miss you too. We definitely need to get that back on track. I'd love to do that again for sure. Good. And for those of you listening, Sherry is an expert on American wines. I've just learned so much and been exposed to so many interesting wines from around the country from judging that competition. It's really amazing. And I mean, wines from regions that normally consumers wouldn't think about. Like, we've had surprising upsets from Virginia, New York, and even Ohio, right?
That is correct. Yeah. We had a big surprise this year too. I'll tell you about when you're ready.
I can't wait to hear more about that. And you know what? I'm going to link up the results, all of that, in the show notes for today. And I'll let everyone know later on how they can access them, because these are really some fantastic wines. And you're not going to find them necessarily on your local store shelf yet. Or you can even ask your local retailer to bring some of them in. I like to tell people as well. So the reason I have specifically invited you on today is it's Rosé Month here on the Glamorous Gourmet. And I wanted to talk to you about your exciting new venture. So tell me a little bit about, your new rosé adventure and how you ended up joining forces with the rosé competition.
Well, it's interesting because we live here in South Florida. It's such a beautiful environment for drinking rosé. Rosés are just, they're spiking right now. People are loving them.
Yes.
Pardon me.
And why do you think that is? Sorry.
Because they're better. Because they're making, I think, first of all, Americans are making them much better. We used to look at a pink wine and we knew that it was basically what white Zin.
Right.
It didn't have a great reputation. Look, in France, they're making beautiful rosés. They have. Go to Provence, Tavel, Côte de Provence. I mean, it's just, they make some beautiful wines over there. And the dry rosés, but they haven't really made it here because of the reputation, I think, that we all felt rosé is supposed to be, and that was our version of a white Zin. Mm-hmm. So I think people are smartening up, and I also think that, well, obviously the rosés are getting so much better here in America. So I was approached by a guy named Bob Ecker, who's been doing a rosé competition out in California, and it was an international rosé competition. And which is not something that I normally do. As you mentioned, I'm all American.
Yes.
But like I said, I love rosé, and I thought it was sort of an intriguing idea. And I go, tell me more. And we talked for, a week or two. And I'm like, fine, let's do it. Well, within 2 months, the event took place.
That is amazing how that just happened so fast.
It really did. And it was because it had legs. It's because people were interested. It's because when we sent out, like I talked with a lot of the wineries that I work with and asked what they thought. Yeah. And they're like, we'd love this idea. This is great. We're in.
Perfect.
And would you believe within, like, we were done in 2 months, 171 rosés from all over the world came in.
Oh my God. That is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. How wonderful. I mean, that really couldn't have been more perfect timing, I think.
Right. And we're going right into, like you said, it's rosé month.
Mm-hmm.
We're in rosé month.
Yay.
And it's beautiful. I mean, I'll tell you what, and here's what was really intriguing to me.
Yeah.
Because I've been dealing with, basically reds and whites. And yes, we include rosés, mm-hmm. but we didn't get as many. I'll get 100 or 150 cabs I'll get 150 Pinots, I'll get 100 Chards, mm-hmm. and then, and all the other varietals, and I'll probably get 18 rosés. Well, when these 171 rosés came in and I opened every box, I brought every wine in, I'm looking at the color, I'm looking at the packaging. I'm going, oh my God, this is just beautiful. Oh. And you know, next thing I knew, I'm wearing them right now. I'm wearing pink glasses. I bought a pink shirt.
I love it.
I went to Palm Beach and bought pink clothes.
Good for you. Oh my God. I love it. I know. I wish we had video right now because that's fantastic. We'll get to that later, I think. But that's wonderful. I know. And I can imagine just opening all of the boxes and the samples showing up, just a beautiful array of different hues of pink.
Yep, absolutely.
Beautiful. So how is the judging of this competition? Since it is a little different, it's not just American wines, it combines, you know, wines right. from other countries as well. How is the judging for this competition different from that of the American Fine Wine Competition?
Well, that's a wonderful question. And here's the thing, because it was our first year, I basically followed the rules of Bob, who brought it to me. I said, whatever you want to do. And when he told me, I thought, interesting, but I said, we can do it. So it was basically, let them fall where they may. They are rosés. How does this one taste? How does that one taste? And so we kind of did that. And it was interesting because we had a discussion with the judges. I did in the middle of it with Bob and everybody. I'm like, let me ask you, how do you guys feel about this? And it was interesting because it was sort of a mixed response. Some of them thought, absolutely, let them fall where they may. I don't care what the price is. I don't care what the varietal is. I don't care where it's from. Yeah. I want to know, is it a good rosé? Mm-hmm. And then the other side, the other half of the panel was sort of saying, well, we kind of want to know. If I'm drinking a rosé of Pinot and a rosé of Syrah and a rosé of Sangio on the same flight, what's that doing to my palate?
Yeah.
So we went, it was really interesting being that it was such a split, you know, split ideas. And
right.
I would like to, frankly, I'm going to play with it a little bit. I think there should be, because, you know, with American fine wine, I think we need to have them varietally correct. I think, not varietally correct, but, you know, varietally in a flight.
Yes.
I think the price range should be somewhat similar because I'm not going to expect the same thing from a $10 rosé as I am going to expect from a $37 rosé.
Very true. That's a very good point. Yes.
But in the meantime, we did it this way and the results were kind of astonishing.
No kidding. Yeah. No kidding at all. Do you want to share with us a little more about your results? I think I am. Well, first, you know what? First, let me just say, I actually couldn't wait to get your opinion on how the judging was different. If you're listening, it's amazing the wines that this woman organizes. I have to brag on you for a few minutes because watching you year after year at the American Fine Wine Competition, you peek in that back room where all of the flights, I mean, there's how many tables of judges usually? 10 tables about?
We have 7 tables of judges.
How many judges at a table?
4 judges at a table.
And we're all getting different flights in different orders, different grape varieties, different price ranges. And you don't miss a beat. I mean, it is the most efficiently run event. I have to give you props. I don't know how you do it. It's amazing. It really is. You look back in that room and at that mountain of wine, that's just all perfectly organized. So yeah, I'm sure you're going to have fun maybe tweaking the rosé competition a little bit, but it's amazing what you do. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You. Thank really you very do. Much. It's definitely a group effort. You know, I do the competition at FIU in the hospitality school. And so we have like anywhere from 30 to 50 of the hospitality students who volunteer their time to be a part of it.
Right.
And so, you know, it is a group effort and I have interns, specific people who work very closely with me. Like I said, it's a group effort, but it is definitely a challenge. Every year you'd think after 11 years it would come easy, but it doesn't.
Yeah, it's challenging. So what is the most challenging part of running a competition like that? If you had to pick like one thing that's the most challenging, what would it be?
That's a good question. I would say probably the organization of the wine angels, our volunteers who help us.
Yes.
Because we try to, you know, the back room is crazy, the staging area. where we have, you know, when we do we're talking about the American Fine Wine Competition right now, where we would have 700-800 wines back there broken into flights over a 2-day period. And then we've got the judges where you guys all sit. Mm-hmm. And we want you to think everything is perfect. We don't want you to know that there's mayhem in the back, but you've got six, imagine this, it's a classroom. It's a large classroom at FIU, which is our staging area. And the wines are set up on 3 different tiers because it's set up classroom. It's an auditorium kind of style room. And so we have three wine angels on each team, and they each have a cart. So imagine you've got 800 times 3, so 2,400 bottles, each one breakable, in this room of tiers of chairs, and at least 24 wine angels, 21 wine angels. Wow. And also we have people that are back there that are helping make sure bottles are put away properly after the flight goes out. And they're going with these carts that are loaded with glasses, and they're usually average about 8 wines in a flight. Mm-hmm. So, and for 4 judges, so you got 8 times 4, you got 32 glasses. You're pouring a couple of ounces in each glass, and you have to get out there timely without banging into the person who has to fill their cart next.
It's amazing just to watch it all in motion. And it's funny, like, I don't ever remember a drop of wine being spilled. Like, and I have to say, the wine angels, props to them. They rock every year too. You know what? They're all so, you surround yourself with such great people. They're all so passionate about the wines that they're bringing to you. And it really comes through. It really does.
Well, I honestly can't tell you how much I appreciate that, because I always tell people this, everything we do, it's all passion driven. You know, nobody makes money here, not very much. You know, we raise money for charity, and frankly, I think you know that in the last 10 years, we've given away over $1 million. So it's a beautiful thing, but it's pure passion. Everybody's a volunteer. The judges they volunteer to stay with us. I mean, we make them a nice meal and they get to taste some great wine. Yeah. But honestly, they take, you know, 48 hours of their very busy, hectic, important schedules. Mm-hmm. And they spend time with us helping to raise awareness for these fabulous wines produced in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And now recently with the Rosé competition, the same thing. It was a smaller, you know, we didn't have 800 wines. We had 171, but we did it in a full day. Mm-hmm. And it's a long day, you know, 8 a.m. Right. to 10 p.m. basically.
Wow. Wow. That is a long day. But you know what? Right. Everyone wants to be there. They're there because they love wine. And I think this leads me to my next question, but I think I kind of have an idea of what the answer is. So what is the most rewarding part of doing the fine wine competition? And there are many upsides, but if, like, you had to pick one or two that are your most, like, rewarding reasons for doing it.
You know, a lot of these wineries are family-run operations. Mm-hmm. And when they get a great score, when they get a medal, when they get the props from these judges, first of all, the judges, a lot of them are involved in restaurants, and they have, you know, what we do is we help support these people. And when they send me a note at the end of the day or at the end of the month, whenever they get, you know, when they get their information and their results and they're thrilled and their medals show up and they're happy and they sell some wine.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful thing. And then again, with the following each competition, we do something called the after party, mm-hmm. and we invite the public in to taste all the wines. When I see those people walking around with their glasses extended and looking to try the next great bottle and the big grins on their face and that, it thrills me. I love it. I love sharing this.
Yes. And that so comes through too, even at the gala that we're going to talk about in a little bit. I love, like, the sense of camaraderie with everyone and the bottles on the tables and, oh, have you tried this? And have you tried, like, it's mm-hmm. just, it's such the sharing nature of, which is essentially what you just said. It's really, it really comes through and makes the event so much fun. So,
thanks.
All right. So back to the Rosé competition. Tell us about the big winners.
So we had two, I mean, one of them didn't stun me, but one of them did. Uh-huh. So let's talk about the still. So we did, basically it's just still and sparkling.
Okay.
With the sparkling, we had, we had about 20 sparkling wines enter, mm-hmm. and they ranged anywhere from $15 up to $135.
So did they also include then champagnes in there? Were there
yes.
Okay,
yes.
So champagne, yes. Sparkling wine, all that stuff. Okay.
And the winner of that, and it was a very mixed group. So we had from Monterey, we had from Virginia, we had from Carneros, we had from Michigan.
Wow.
We had the Lodi area, we had Italy.
All over the place.
France.
Nice.
Yeah, it was really cool. And the one that won that was the J. Rosé from Sonoma.
I love that. Oh my God, that's great.
It was pretty cool. And that came in at $45. So it's kind of interesting because it was really middle of the road as far as the pricing went.
Yeah.
And it just fared well. And it was hands down, everybody's hands went up. But you know, when we pick the best of, we do a hands up voting, if you remember.
Right. Yes.
And when we picked the sparkling, and there were about four or five that were in that, in the best of category that would move into best of show. And for this particular rosé, the J Vineyards, every hand went up. So
that's saying something, because oftentimes it's like, what, you know, it can be by one vote or two votes, like a
right.
slight margin. So the fact that everybody's hands went up, that's pretty significant. Wow.
Yes, agreed.
Wow.
And so then, so 20, those are 20, about 20 rosés, mm-hmm. I mean, 20 sparklings. So we had 151 still wines.
Wow. Okay. Yes.
And when I say from all over, I mean all over.
All over.
All over. Argentina, Chile, New Zealand, Australia, France, damn. America, all over the country.
That's impressive. Yeah. I love to hear that.
Yeah. I was blown away because really, again, working American most of the time, and then I'm accepting all these wines coming in from all over the world for the rosé competition. Mm-hmm. It was sort of like giving me chills, you know?
Yes.
It's like, wow, it's a small world after all.
I love it.
So the winner of that, and again, there were some standouts, really beautiful wines by mm-hmm. wineries from all over, you know. The wines from France were showing very well.
Oh,
and
sure.
A lot of the wines from Washington were looking good. And even there was the Virginia wines, a couple of them were really, really standouts.
And that's something in particular I have to say, that the American Fine Wine Competition really opened up my mind to Virginia's amazing wines. So mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear that in the rosé category they were representing too.
They were. So was Michigan very well.
Yes, absolutely.
And we're going to work New York also. I mean, but we're working on, you know, again, because we just did it in within 2 months, I'm looking forward to next year because I think we'll double or triple the amount of rosés.
I bet you will. God, can you imagine all the wine that's going to show up for that?
No, I'm ready to shoot myself right now.
I love it. I'll be there to accept some of the deliveries, but if they go missing, don't
yeah, right. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll talk about you joining. You like rosé. I know you do.
I adore rosé. Yes.
And we're going to have to talk about you coming in as one of our judges next
Yay.
Year. No question.
Fabulous. I'm in.
So the hands down the win, not hands down, because this was, again, it went on a debate.
Okay.
Only one judge held out, but it was interesting because this particular judge who remained nameless.
Oh, I was just going to ask. I
remain
to know, but that's
didn't,
okay.
didn't agree on a lot. It was really interesting because some people just get set in their ways and they believe something to be.
I think I know who that is. I'm just going to say, but they will remain nameless, but no, really. So the holdout, but everyone else was pretty much on board.
They all picked. Have you ever heard of a winery called Sauska?
No, I have to say I have never heard of this winery ever.
This little teeny tiny itsy beansy itty witty winery comes from Hungary.
Drum roll.
Hungary.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes. And may I tell you, it was a $12 bottle.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
See, folks, like I always say, you don't have to spend a ton of money to get delicious wine. You just have to know where the gems are. And apparently when it comes to rosé, the gems are in Hungary. I mean, that is amazing. Tell us a little more about this winery.
All I can really tell you, again, yeah. I worked with another person, and Bob Ecker, and he has a lot of connections out of the country. I only have a handful, so I'm pretty sure it came in through him.
Yeah.
But I know it's a small family-run operation, and I can mm-hmm. tell you that the owner, she wrote to us, and just said, oh my goodness, we have never had such great results coming from the United States. And she says, we are thrilled. And they announced it all over. They were thrilled.
I loved it, as were we.
Yeah.
Because, right, doing this kind of competition just levels the playing field.
Really does.
You're not looking at a label. You're not looking at price necessarily. You just are going on the wine itself. So,
yep.
Gosh.
And interesting, they are in the country, though, because they have a representation in Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
And so I know they're in the U.S. I don't think they're in the South Florida market yet, but I think after this, they might just wind up here.
I wouldn't be surprised. And I'm going to link up, if they have a website, I will link that up in the show notes as well. So, and again, folks, once they get representation, ask your local wine stores to bring things in and you know, be that squeaky wheel. And sometimes you will definitely be rewarded. So
absolutely. I agree with you, because sometimes these wine shops are pretty narrow-minded. Not that they're narrow-minded, but they're approached by salespeople and the people from the different distributors. And sometimes they want to sell what they need to sell.
Yes.
And they may leave out something that's really special. So if you guys find something that you love, go tell them, hey, you got to get this.
Yeah, they want to have the wines their customers want to buy.
Yeah. So and you know what? We open their eyes. We educate them too. Mm-hmm. Because again, they're sort of, I mean, yes, some of these wine shop owners, they go out to tastings and stuff, but they're limited to what they are capable of getting in front of. And what's being brought to them. So when we're out there, when I go out to California or Washington or Oregon or New York or Ohio or Virginia, all these places, and you find wineries, I come back and I go, hey, have you heard of this?
Yeah.
You know, and if you're somewhere traveling even,
you
see something, you like, oh my God, take a picture of it, bring it home, talk about it.
Exactly. Get a picture of that label. That is so helpful to anybody, sommelier or your retail store. If you're like, just try to describe it, it's a little bit more challenging, but to have a photo of that label, I totally agree with you, is so helpful to get something, a wine that's similar to that.
Right. And because you're never going to remember.
No. You think you will, then you get two or three glasses of wine in and it's all goes right out.
That's right.
Wow. Well, that is so exciting, Sherry. Thanks so much for sharing that. Sure. And I have to ask you just personally, here you've just tried, you know, just personally speaking, what is your personal, do you have a personal favorite rosé?
You know, I'm going to do the standard answer and tell you whatever's in my glass.
Because I found it's hard to ask you to pick favorites.
Honestly, I found so many. Mm-hmm. I really have found so many. I'll throw out a few names. They're going to be American.
Bring it on.
So there's a little winery called J. Cage. And I just think what they're doing are wonderful. They're beautiful people. It's a lovely couple. They're, you know, a small, again, family run operation.
Yeah.
And besides their rosé, they do beautiful Chards and Pinot Noirs. Well, Pinot Noir blew me away. And they do a Sauvignon Blanc that's beautiful too. I have to also bring in, you know, Shadowbox Cellars. They won. Now, before we did the rosé competition, we did have rosés in American Fine Wine.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular rosé took best of show.
Wow.
And I only think they've done two or three vintages. And that wine was just magnificent. And the runner-up with that best of was another brand new winery called Bee Hunter.
Ah.
Bee Hunter. Like their tagline is always be hunting. Always
be hunting. Love that.
And Andre and Allie are the owners. And they are just the sweetest, most fun, adorable people. They live in Philo. And their wines are beautiful. Peju sent in a magnificent rosé, right? I mean, they don't do anything bad. And interestingly, a big standout, which I didn't expect, and they were pretty thrilled about it. There's a little, it's Italian, Stamari.
Ooh.
And they're in the market for sure.
Awesome.
And again, at $11.
Oh my God.
And they got a double gold medal.
I love that.
Sorry, a gold medal.
Awesome. Right. These are what the consumers need to know about. So they're not just going back to the same, you know, kind of mass produced wines that you get, kind of rely on, like, if you give someone right the specific name and they can look it up and find it, this mm-hmm. is so helpful. I'm so glad you shared these names for sure.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And it, as far as food, because, you know, rosé, so incredibly food friendly, right?
Yes. It goes with everything.
Everything. Do you have a favorite dish you like to enjoy with your rosé?
Honestly, I'm a big sushi fan. I think sushi and rosé, especially sparkling, nothing beats it. Nothing beats it.
That's funny. I honestly can't say that I've had rosé with my sushi.
Try it.
I like to try a lot of stuff. I'm totally going to do that this weekend for sure.
It works well. And I know that you love rosés, and I haven't told you something yet. May I give you a little sprinkle, a little surprise on you?
Yes, please do.
Oh, good. She trusts me. Yay.
I do.
We are going to have, you know, May is rosé month, but we've got a lot going on right now with the gala coming up.
Yeah.
But immediately following rosé month, actually, there is a rosé day, and yes. that is on June 9th.
Mm-hmm.
The day before that, on June 8th, we're going to kick off Rosé Day with a rosé tasting.
Ah.
And it's going to be hosted in Fort Lauderdale at a place called Robo Vault, which is where
Wonderful.
We keep our wines.
Yes.
And
it's a great venue for an event, too. I love that.
It's really fun. Yeah. It's a really fun event. It'll be a really fun event. We're going to be highlighting rosés now. Having said that, there will be red and whites, too.
Perfect.
Because everybody wants to have a little diversity on your palate.
Very true.
Right? But we'll be pouring probably about 80 rosés.
Oh my gosh.
And
80? Excuse me, did you say 80?
80. Yes, ma'am.
Sherry doesn't joke around, folks. If you ever are really wanting to taste some amazing wines, and I will link up your website, you put together amazing events with just such an assortment of amazing wines. It's a great way for people to learn. Honestly, tasting those wines back to back like that is so helpful to people trying to learn about wine, because you can have a bottle, you know, and then a few days later open another bottle, but there's just something about trying them back to back like that that really helps you, I think, you know, define your palate and what you like. So
right, and it helps you with memory, I think, which is so important, right? You
totally
to do them, you look at the bottle, you look at the label, you taste the wine, you put it in your head, hopefully you take a picture,
right?
And then you move on. And it's also really cool because these, like, again with the rosés, because they come from so many different varieties of grapes, it's fun to put them side by side and try the rosé, you know, of Pinot Noir and the rosé of Sangiovese and Nero Diavolo. Help me out with that one.
Nero Diavolo. Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely. No, and that's so true. And I don't know that a lot of consumers actually know that. You know, you think, oh, it's rosé, but you're absolutely right. It can be made from Pinot Noir. I was just talking about a Rosato di Nebbiolo from California. Mm-hmm. Nebbiolo.
Cabernet too.
Exactly. So there's so many different grape varieties that can, you know, be used to make a rosé. You just let the juice remain in contact with the skin. And that's why there's so many different colors too.
Yes.
Right?
That was such a fun thing to see.
Oh, I can imagine the beauty of that. I'm just trying to take a moment and picture that. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this great information. And of course, I can't let you go. I just wanted to touch on, since you, of anyone I know, just really have your finger kind of, you know, on the pulse of what's going on in wine country out in California. And I just wanted to see, you know, what you thought about, you know, how Napa and Sonoma are doing since the terrible fires a few months ago.
Interesting. Thank God they are doing well. Yeah. They're ready for visitors. They've been ready. You know what? They recovered really quickly. There's a huge sign that's in, I think it's in Sonoma. Mm-hmm. And actually there's a picture of it. I have it on one of my event pages, and it says the love in the air is thicker than the smoke.
Oh,
and I know I
just got the chills. Oh my God.
And so what we're doing, actually, so you know, we mentioned earlier about a gala that I have coming up.
Yes.
On May 5th.
Where you'll be celebrating all of
where we will be. But we're also going to be, just before the gala begins, mm-hmm. we're going to have a seminar, sort of a panel discussion.
Yes.
And our winemakers of the year will be there, our wineries and winemakers of the year, talking about we're going to talk about the wildfires. We're going to talk about the experience. We're going to talk about what happened to them and their wineries and their vineyards and their people and their homes and, and how they all really got through it with just strength and love and determination.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, I was out there, gosh, I think I went out there in November, early November.
Yeah.
And that was shortly after the fires and they were rapid to recover.
Wow.
There's a lot of residual, of course, there's still a lot of anguish and people lost homes and stuff.
Oh, but a good friend of mine went home, literally went home. He was helping someone else get out of the area, but went home, his house was not there. Like, but then, you know, the sense of community is like, they just band together and like they all get through it together. It's so, it's a wonderful, it's sad that it had to happen, of course, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a lesson for all of us, I think.
I agree.
Getting through it together is the best way.
Absolutely. People join forces. So we're going to talk at the panel discussion about that.
Wonderful.
And just so the winemakers of the year and the wineries of the year that'll be there are Ernie Weir from Hagafen Cellars.
Nice.
Dave Pramick from Robert Bialy. I know Jan Krupp, Dr. Jan Krupp from Krupp Brothers. He's also the He's also the founder of Stagecoach Vineyards.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
And Robert Rex from Deerfield Ranch will be there, and that's going to be our panel. They're also going to be they're also going to be receiving their winemaker and winery of the year awards at the gala.
Good. So all you winemakers listen, or winemakers, all you wine lovers listening, you don't want to miss this event. Give us the logistics, like where and when exactly, so people can mark it on their calendars.
It is on May 5th. It's a week from Saturday, May 5th, at Pier 66 in Fort Lauderdale.
Wonderful.
We're going to be pouring over 700 wines, including a lot of the rosés. There will be other winemakers there as well. Greg LaFollette's coming in from Alchemista.
We just opened a bottle of, I think the last bottle we had of his Pinot Noir, that won Best in Show. I think it was
Manchester
like
Ridge.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that.
Still drinking beautifully. Gorgeous.
He's probably one of the most talented winemakers I've ever met. This guy, he's in a, you know, he's doing an upcoming movie with it's a feature about Andre Telechef.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Greg worked closely with him.
Really? Oh, that'll be wonderful. And I've never met him. And so
you're going to be at the gala. You'll get to meet him.
Yes. I'll be there too. I cannot wait.
Yeah, and there's tasting. It's a really cool event. You know, you've been before. We have tasting rooms set up during the reception where the wineries are pouring their very special wines. Well, they're all special. They're big winners. And so we've got several wineries coming in besides the four I mentioned. We're going to be showing the Best of Show Red, which this year, interestingly, was a Petit Sirah from Carol Shelton.
What? See, I love it. Again, level playing field and Petit Sirah. We need more Petit Sirah in our lives, I think.
I think so.
Wonderful.
I absolutely agree. And the Best of Show white wine, which was the big surprise, was another one. Little tiny winery.
Yeah.
In New York.
Oh my gosh.
In the Finger Lakes. Yeah, it was in the Finger Lakes, and it was Fox Run Riesling.
Do you hear that, folks?
Fox Run Dry Riesling.
And Riesling. These are wines you need to be drinking more. Put the Pinot Grigio down. Sorry, I have a little bit of an issue with the Pinot Grigio. Just because people rely on it too much, you know, and there's so many great wines, like everything you've just mentioned today, great wines at totally affordable prices that are so unique and so much, they have so much more personality, I guess I like to say, but...
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, that's one of the reasons this event is so exciting to me. I mean, the opportunity to try wines when you come to the gala and you're sitting at a table and your wine angels are walking by, and every time they come by, they have between 2 and 4 new bottles of wine. Yep. You know, I say to people, don't take a full glass. You can't. We have one bottle of each. Take a sip.
Right.
Try this one. Try that one. Try this Petit Mansang. Try this Petit Verdot. Try this blend of... Rhone grapes. There's just so much.
Oh God, it's heavenly. Wine angels. It's all heavenly. No, that's honestly, and that's true. You got to have your strategy going in. You got to pace yourself. Right. And just enjoy. Oh, that's so wonderful. I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to seeing you, and going to the events. It'll be so much fun.
I'm excited too. I'm very happy to hear you guys are coming. I hope your listeners will join us.
I hope they do too. I'll be on them. Don't worry. And I'll link up the website with all the information, how to buy tickets and all that in the show notes when we're done.
Wonderful. Yeah. And you know what? Because I love you, I'm going to even give your readers, your listeners a special deal.
Yes. Ooh, tell us.
So we do have a code and we can take $50 off per ticket.
Yay.
And the code is VIP table. So don't tell anybody else, only if you're a listener of the beautiful, glamorous gourmet, awesome. Stephanie.
Thank you. You take such good care of us, Sherry. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Gosh.
Well, it has been delightful talking to you today. We learned about rosé in and of itself. We learned about the rosé competition. We learned more about the American Fine Wine Competition and these amazing events. So again, we have the gala coming up next week, next Saturday. And we also have that amazing tasting at Robovault on June 9th. So I will be sure.
June 8th.
Oh, sorry. June 9th is Thursday. Okay. Thank you. June 8th, folks. So I'll be sure to link up all the info. And thank you so much, my dear. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Oh, and for those of you looking for the show notes, you can find them at theglamorousgourmet.com/episode10. Yes, and I can't think of a better guest to have on my 10th episode than Sherry Gurman. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. It was fun.
Wonderful. And I look forward to seeing you soon.
Me too.
Fabulous. Bye, everybody. Cheers.